Let's turn together in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse 30. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. The title of this message is The Necessity of Repentance. The Necessity of Repentance. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Our text says that God commands men to repent. Repentance, as God's word defines it, involves four important ingredients. And I want us to look at these four things before the body of the message, because we need to understand what repentance is before we talk about the necessity. So first of all, repentance, as far as God's word teaches, is a godly sorrow for sin because of its offense to God. A godly sorrow for sin because of its offense to God. A sorrow that causes the sinner to grieve over his sin and his sinfulness. Second, biblical repentance involves a radical change of mind about God, about sin, about self, about righteousness, and about the Savior. The repentant person once loved sin and self and hated God and righteousness and the Savior. But repentance has brought a radical change of mind. He now loves God and loves righteousness and loves the Savior. He hates sin and he loathes himself because of his sin and his sinfulness. Thirdly, biblical repentance involves a turning from sin with the resolve never to return to its love and practice, and a turning to God and the things he requires. It involves a turning. And fourthly, biblical repentance involves a cry to God for mercy through Jesus Christ. In the churches today, we hear of decisions and commitments and rededications, but not of repentance. And yet, as we're going to see in this message, without repentance, there can be no salvation. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The first thing we shall consider in this message is the fact that repentance is a prominent theme in the Scriptures. And this is very important because of much of the error that is abroad today in the churches about salvation. Repentance is a prominent theme in the Scriptures. Now, it's greatly edifying as well as significant to this message on the necessity of repentance to go through God's Word and look at some of the many references to repentance. In Ezekiel 14:6, God told Israel to repent. Let's turn to Ezekiel 14 and verse 6. Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 6. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Now you see, there's one of the key aspects of biblical repentance. A turning from sin. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 12:41 that Jonah preached repentance in the great city of Nineveh. Let's turn to Matthew 12:41. Matthew chapter 12. And verse 41. The Lord Jesus is preaching here. And he says, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they, that is Nineveh, repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Mark 1:4 tells us that the message of John the Baptist was repent. Turn to Mark chapter 1 and verse 4. Mark 1, verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Look down the page at verses 14 and 15, which tell us that the Lord Jesus Christ preached that men should repent. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Our Lord began his ministry by announcing its leading commands. The gospel that Jesus Christ preached was very plainly a command. Repent ye and believe the gospel. When the Lord Jesus sent out the 12 in Mark 6:12, they preached that men should repent. Look at Mark chapter 6 and verse 12. Mark 6, verse 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. The Lord Jesus rebuked and condemned the cities where his mighty works were done because they did not repent. Look at Matthew 11, 20 through 22. Matthew 11, 20 through 22. This is a very sobering passage. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. The Lord Jesus said that Tyre and Sidon would have repented long ago if the mighty works that he did in Chorazin and Bethsaida had been done in them. Russia and China and Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan may well have repented long ago if the mighty works that God has done in America had been done in them. At Pentecost, if Peter had charged Israel with killing, or rather after he had charged Israel with killing the Lord Jesus, he told them to repent. Look at Acts 2:38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now look at Acts 3:19. Acts 3, verse 19 tells us that when Peter and John had healed the lame man in the temple, Peter said to the crowd that was present there, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Next, look at Acts 8:22. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Here, Peter told Simon the sorcerer to repent. Acts 8:22. Repent ye of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Next, look at Acts 20, 20 and 21. Acts 20, verses 20 and 21. Here, as Paul reviewed his ministry at Ephesus, he said that he preached repentance to them, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul actually summed up his gospel in two articles here: repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So repentance is a prominent theme throughout the Word of God. It's everywhere as we look through the pages of God's Word. The next thing we're going to consider is the matter of why repentance is necessary to salvation. And I'm going to list 10 reasons from God's Word as to why it is absolutely necessary for sinners to repent. Number one, it is necessary for sinners to repent because God commands men to repent. Our text in Acts 17:30 says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Repentance is something we must do simply because God commands us to do so. The Lord Jesus also commanded repentance when he said in Mark 1:15, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." Repent ye is just as much a commandment of God as thou shalt not steal. Sinner friend here today, God commands you in the gospel, and his command is as real and authoritative and binding as would be an immediate voice from heaven. Why is repentance necessary to salvation? Second, because Christ the Savior says that repentance is necessary to salvation. Look at Luke 13:3. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. The Lord Jesus is speaking. "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Who spoke these words? The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ himself who says here that repentance is necessary and that no one can be saved without it. Why is repentance necessary to salvation? Thirdly, because all men are sinners in rebellion against God. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And Ecclesiastes 7:10 says, "There's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Psalm 51:5 says that all men are born in sin. Thus they must repent if they would be saved. Listen to Isaiah 51:5. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Now that doesn't mean the act of parenthood is sinful. That means that from the very beginning of life, man is a sinner. If a man could be found that had perfect obedience to God's law, except for one sin, and this is not possible, but even this man would need to repent because of what James 2:10 says. Look at James 2:10 here, down toward the end of the New Testament. James chapter 2 and verse 10. "Even if a man could keep every command of God but one, he would still need to repent. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point. He is guilty of all. Such a man could not be saved without repentance, because though he has only sinned in one thing, he's guilty of the whole law. God's law condemns every sinner to eternal hell. The wages of sin is death, says Romans 6:23. And God is just in sending sinners to hell for violating his law. Sin against the infinite God is an infinite evil. You know, we can't even conceive how bad, how evil, how wicked sin is, because it's against an infinite being. All infinite evil deserves an infinite punishment. The only infinite punishment that a finite creature can experience is eternal punishment. Infinite means unlimited, and eternal punishment is the closest to infinite that a punishment could be. All men are required to repent because all men are under sin, under its power, involved in its guilt, deserving of its punishment. Are you a sinner? Why is repentance necessary to salvation? Fourthly, because without repentance, there is no salvation from sin. Our text says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Why is such strong language used about the necessity of repentance? It is because repentance is essential to salvation. Acts 11:18 calls it repentance unto life. Let's turn to Acts 11, verse 18. Acts chapter 11 and verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Why is repentance necessary to salvation? Number five, because God's mercy is only for those who repent. Turn to Proverbs 28:13. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. God's mercy is only for those who repent. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Thomas Goodwin once said along these lines that sinners must resolve either to leave every known sin and submit to every known duty, or else never expect to find mercy and favor from God. Why is repentance necessary to salvation? Number six, because there is a limit to God's patience with sinners. There's a limit to God's patience with sinners. Men will set no limits to their sins, but God sets a limit to his patience. God says in Genesis 6:3, "My spirit shall not always strive with men." Sinner friend here today, God has given you time to seek him and repent. He continues to be good to you while you continue to be ungrateful for this. Turn to Romans 2:4. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. This speaks directly to this matter when it asks the sinner, "Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" There is an end to God's patience with sinners. Someday, as Revelation 14:7 says, an angel will cry out, "The hour of judgment is come." Then it will be forever too late to repent. Why is repentance necessary to salvation? Number 7, because of the great danger of putting off repentance. Don't ever think that you can neglect repentance and have no ill consequences come upon you. People may only repent in this present life. When this life is over and Christ has returned, the door of repentance as well as of faith will be closed for good. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Right now, you may be living the very last day of your life, or even the last minutes of your life on earth. Yesterday, in one day, Lindy and I lost 2 friends in death. Once you die and pass into eternity, there will be no more opportunity to and no more means of repenting. Thomas Watson said, "God has given you 2 eyes. If you lose one, you have another. But if you have one soul, and if you are robbed of that, you are undone forever." Why is repentance necessary to salvation? Number 8, because God's terrible judgment will fall on those who do not repent. In Ezekiel 18:30-31, God calls on Israel to repent or face ruin. Let's turn to Ezekiel 18:30. Ezekiel chapter 18, and I'll read verses 30 and 31 here. Ezekiel 18:30-31. God is speaking to Israel. "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Turn next to 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I'll read verses 7 and 8. This passage says that when Christ returns, God's judgment will fall on those who do not obey the gospel and repent. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Repentance is necessary for escaping the wrath to come. Why is repentance necessary to salvation? Number 9, Because of Christ's purpose in coming into this world. The Lord Jesus said about himself in Matthew 9:13 that he came into this world to call sinners to repentance. "For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Repentance is the great gift that Christ was exalted to give, because he is the Savior. Look at Acts 5:31. Acts chapter 5 and verse 31. Peter is speaking of Christ here. Acts 5:31. "When him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Why is repentance necessary to salvation? Number 10, because without it, a man cannot be fit for heaven. Turn to Revelation 21, and we'll look at verse 27. Revelation 21, verse 27 says that heaven is closed to unrepentant sinners. The subject is heaven here. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Someone else has said that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and those who go there must be a prepared people. Our hearts must enjoy and appreciate the activities of heaven, or else heaven would be a miserable place for us. Our thoughts and desires must be in harmony with those in heaven, or else we can't enjoy the society of that place. What could you possibly enjoy in heaven if yours is a heart that is in love with sin? Who would you speak to? Who would you sit with? Not the angels, not the prophets, not the apostles, not the Lord himself. If you don't read the Bible now, how could you enjoy talking with those who wrote it? If you never praise the Lamb now, how could you enjoy doing so for all eternity? If you dread and avoid holiness now, how could you hope to be happy where all is holiness all the time? Sinner friend here today, you will never see heaven if you don't repent. The third thing we should consider in this message on the necessity of repentance is the matter of who is commanded to repent. Who is commanded to repent? Look at our text back in Acts 17, 30. Acts 17 and verse 30. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God commands all men to repent. Men of all kinds and characters, young and old, rich and poor, black and white, free and enslaved, husbands, wives, children. All men without exception need repentance toward God. Repentance is not just necessary for drunkards and adulterers and murderers and gamblers. No, all men without exception must repent. Note the word everywhere in our text. All men everywhere are commanded to repent. In the city and in the country. In Lisbon and Indianapolis. In Kansas City and Oklahoma City. In Kingsville, Missouri. In the state of Mississippi, in the USA, and in Brazil. This command reaches wherever there are sinners. The CEO in the boardroom and the laborer on the highway. The mechanic in his shop. The soldier on the battlefield. The retiree in the nursing home. The college professor in his classroom. The illiterate alien on the border. The judge on the bench. The prisoner in the jail. The preacher in the pulpit. And the people in the pews. If you are a person and you live anywhere on this planet, you are included. God commands all men everywhere to repent. And he commands them to do it now. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Sinner friend, repentance is your duty right now. Now, when the gospel is being preached. Now, while the day of grace lasts. Now, before you're hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Now, while the Spirit is striving with you. Now, while you still have health in body and mind, and you're not preoccupied with pain and suffering. Brother, I'll tell you one thing that gets you off, will get you off of the things of God in your mind, and that's to have a total knee replacement or a hip replacement. Brother, you'll be so preoccupied with pain, it'll be hard to even think about this. Now, while you're still living, now, because you may be taken this year or this month or this week or this night in death, today you have heard this command of God. Therefore, repent today. Now, this moment, repent. Don't procrastinate another minute. Repent today or risk eternal damnation. For the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. It is the immediate duty of all men everywhere to repent. No individual can claim exemption from the duty to repent. Repentance is not optional. If you want to be saved, you must repent. It is a false gospel if repentance is downplayed or ignored. Any system of religion that does not call men to repentance is necessarily a false religion. You know, there's a religious system and theory that's been popular for many years. It's called dispensationalism. You'll find it in the Scofield Bible in the footnotes. Dispensationalism says that repentance is not for this age. It's for the Old Testament dispensation of the law. That goes directly contrary to our text today, the words which were uttered in this dispensation to all men everywhere. Repent. Now commandeth all men to repent. By the way, this present command certainly classifies the religion of the non-lordship salvation people also. Have you repented of your sins? If not, why not? God's word commands you to do so now. Today, when you have come here under the claim to be worshiping God, will you go away knowingly disobeying God's command? Do you dare disobey this command of God? Do you dare go home today with the additional guilt of disobeying a known command of God, the God of heaven and earth? If you want to hang on to your sins, the time will come when the Savior will say to you, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." May God pour out on you today the spirit of grace and supplications so that you may mourn in repentance and come to Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for these warnings from your holy word that we need to repent, and we must repent of our sins and trust in Jesus Christ. Our Father, we pray for any and all sinners here today who may never have repented. May your Holy Spirit grant them repentance from sin and faith in Jesus Christ. We pray that this message would redound to the glory of Christ our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.